Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to a CS podcast exclusive presented by NFLDraftBible.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the CS podcast presented by the NUC NFL Draft Bible. Check it out, NFLDraftBible.com, on Twitter at NFLDraftBible. And for a 30-day free trial, use the promo code DRAFT2016. And for a limited time only, you can get a 50% off for life by signing up and using the promo code FOOTBALL2016. So again, log on, sign up, NFLDraftBible.com. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. I am your host, Chris Schanefelt. And over the past week, I've been previewing all of the FCS football programs in the state of Illinois. On Monday, we had Zach Carpenter on to talk Illinois State Redbirds. On Thursday, we had Justin Rust on to talk Eastern Illinois Panthers. And yesterday, we had on Scott Holland to talk Western Illinois Leathernecks. So be sure to check out the archives for those. And today, we'll wrap it up by focusing on the Southern Illinois Salukis as we bring onto the show Todd Hefferman, who covers SIU Athletics for the Southern Illinoisian, and you can follow him on Twitter at T Hefferman. And Todd, we really appreciate you giving us some time this afternoon. The question that everyone had throughout the offseason and spring ball was answered last week when head coach Nick Hill named transfer quarterback Josh Strawn the Saluki starting quarterback. I know that a couple days before that decision was made, it was before the team scrimmage, I asked you who you thought may have been the favorite to win the starting job, and you said that you felt that junior quarterback Sam Straub has been sharper. Why do you think Nick Hill ultimately chose Strawn over Straub, and how much do you think the play of the first team scrimmage had in this decision?
Well, Chris, again, thanks for having me on. But I just thought Straub was sharper. I thought he was more accurate. He didn't have as many turnovers as Josh Strawn did during the fall ball, I thought. But I think pushed him over the edge is I think he took into account Josh's experience. He's played in over 50 games at the Division II level, played in a good conference, and I think he took that into account. He's been pretty accurate, you know, for the most part. I don't think Straub has been tremendously more accurate than Josh has. And Josh gives you that escapability that Sam necessarily doesn't. Sam's a little bigger quarterback. I think he's more of a pocket-type passer, although he could run the ball. I think he's shown us that. He had a couple runs in their first scrimmage at DuQuoin High School in spring ball where he trucked a couple people and showed that he could get some tough yards if he needed to escape the pocket, that he wasn't strictly a pocket passer. But Josh Strawn can extend some plays more than Sam can. He doesn't have as strong an arm, but few do in this conference. He's got a strong enough arm. And I think Nick took a lot of time and thought, well, he has more experience. He's taken the leadership role. We got to use his legs. I think Nick wants to be able to run the quarterback, not like he ran Mark Iannotti last year, but I think he'll run him sometimes, and I think he's a little bit more athletic. But I think he feels good about having two quarterbacks. Now, your second question asked about how much did the fall scrimmage. I mean, that was the only scrimmage they had. I think he took that into account. I want to say even Straub threw for two touchdowns, and Strawn may have only thrown for one. So I think he took it into account. I don't think it was his whole decision was based on that day, but I think that told him that, yes, Josh will be able to escape some plays where Sam probably will not, and maybe that gives us an edge in that regard.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, Strawn does have more experience coming over from Stillman College, where he was a Division II All-American over there. So certainly looking forward to seeing what Josh Strawn does under center for the Salukis. And if there is one thing for sure, a lot will be asked to A lot will be asked as they're going to have to replace Mark Iannotti, who was just a fantastic dual threat quarterback. And speaking of Iannotti, Todd, let me ask you about last season. I mean, it was such a weird year for the Salukis. I don't know if I've ever seen a team that down the stretch just wasn't able to pull away. I mean, they finished the season 3-8, but there was 5 or 6 games where they lost by one possession, whether it was just 1 point, 3 points, 7 points, just one possession games all over the schedule. Is that ultimately why Dale Lennon is no longer the head coach of the Salukis anymore, because they weren't able to hold on to those leads late in the game and into the fourth quarter?
I think it was a little bit of that. I think it was the whole – I think Tommy Bell coming in and maybe wanting somebody that he picked rather than somebody he inherited. I think it was that they never really showed progress. You know, they were 5-6. They were, you know, 6-5, 7-5 a couple years. They just were never able to get into the upper half, the upper echelon of the conference, which is where they were when he started. And I think it's clear now when you look at the roster that Nick Hill and his staff have put together in less than a year, and the roster that Dale had last year, you know, much different, much more athletic, much older. You know, he was able to upgrade with some FBS transfers, some of them that even played significant amount of time, like a C.J. Jennings at Wyoming, who's going to possibly start a cornerback, like a Craig James out of Minnesota that may return punts for them, may also start a cornerback. The quarterback he got late was Josh Strawn. And he very well, I mean, they may very well have been successful with Sam Straub as the starter, too. And you never know what's going to happen, because last year was the first time, I think, in 3 or 4 years that the same SIU had the same starting quarterback for all 11 games. They've had some really bad luck in the previous 2 years with the starter getting hurt in the week 3. You know, Corey Faulkner in particular, you know, losing like 4 or 5 games and coming back at the end. Who knows how they would have done if they had him for all season. But they, you know, I think that's what ultimately did Lennon in. They lost, just like you said, they lost 5 games by a field goal or less. I mean, they had 7 turnovers against Southeast Missouri State and lost on a last-second field goal on the final play of the game. So they clearly had better talent than 3 wins, but their execution clearly wasn't good enough.
Well, I got to say, from what I've seen looking from afar, I'm, you know, right near the city of Chicago, nowhere near Southern Illinois University. But from what I've seen, there really seems to be a new excitement at Southern Illinois, with Nick Hill being promoted from quarterback coach and co-offensive coordinator to now being the head coach of the Salukis. And I spoke to wide receiver Billy Reed a couple of weeks ago, Todd, and he said that there's a newfound energy within the team and that Hill is really going to be turning things around at SIU. Have you been able to notice that newfound energy that Reed mentioned?
Well, sure. I mean, he's a local guy. He's going to have some fans in the stands. He's going to have people, you know, come to practice that may have come in the past to come watch. The scrimmage they had a good turnout for that, considering it was a Saturday night. So, I mean, yes, there's some energy. Any time you have a new staff, you're going to have some new energy. And I'm optimistic for him. But he does not have a lot of experience as a head coach. He's been an offensive coordinator before. The offensive coordinator they have this year has never been that position. He was a wide receivers coach once. He's played at some good programs. He was a walk on at Michigan State. I'm talking about John Van Dam, and I think he's got some great tools. But he doesn't have he's never been an offensive coordinator before. So I think you have some questions about that. The experience of the staff. I like the defensive coordinator they hired that is their associate head coach, Craig Paulson. Probably has more experience than all of them combined as an assistant coach and as an assistant head coach. So I like that hire. I like the new energy. I think they'll definitely score some points, and they'll be risk takers. And I think you can see the young staff has already recruited, you know, better players, frankly, than what they had last year at key positions. But now you're going into you play in the best league in FCS football, period. So even if you win 4 games, you're gonna have a really good team and win 3 games in this league. So that's where it's gonna take a difference. And the schedule doesn't do him any favors. He very well might beat Florida Atlantic because he has just as many Florida players as Florida Atlantic does. But his league schedule starts find out in a hurry how good they're going to be, and they've got to reduce the turnovers that they had. They had 25 turnovers last year. Nobody in America is going to win more than three games with a minus 11 turnover margin.
You're absolutely right about that. And, yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, it doesn't matter where you start in the Missouri Valley. I mean, tough opponents all across the board. And I brought up Billy Reed, Todd. I was surprised by what we saw out of Billy Reed last season. He was the team's leading wide receiver, 56 receptions for over 800 yards and five touchdowns. I knew that he was going to have the opportunity to have a big season, but I didn't think that he would seize the opportunity the way that he did. And obviously that's a credit to him. But can he have a similar impact or an even bigger season this time around as a senior? I mean, he and Iannotti had great chemistry, and he said that it's been a little disappointing that he hasn't been able to gel with just one quarterback and build a strong rapport as the quarterback competition was going on throughout the offseason. What are you expecting out of the senior wide receiver Billy Reed and the passing game as a whole this coming season?
Well, I'm expecting big things out of Billy Reed. He's one of their deep threats, and they have a couple of them, which is why he may have I think he'll have his bigger role. He won't be here when it's third and four or third and six that they need to get a big completion, and I think they have the passing game that can do that, and he's a guy that wins 50-50 balls. But, you know, they have a lot of guys like that this year. They have Jimmy Jones is coming back. He missed a couple weeks of fall practice with some various injuries, various tiny injuries, and he came back for the scrimmage and looked fantastic. And he had more touchdown catches than anybody else last year. Playing only nine games, he had six touchdown catches. So he's a guy that can play that wide receiver screen, can block, can catch. Darrell James was a guy that missed a couple games late with injury. He's a true freshman from Texas. He's had the best spring ball and fall camp of any receiver, maybe other than Billy Reed. And he's a guy that they can throw deep to. They have some big receivers like Kyle Newquist. So their passing game, you know, everyone thinks they're going to pass every down because Nick Hill is a former quarterback and the way they threw the ball last year. But neither Sam Straub or Josh Strawn are like Iannotti. Iannotti was just a different guy, a different passer, but they're certainly capable of throwing for big numbers. But Nick Hill has even said he wants to concentrate on the running game too, make that as effective as the passing game, because they're outrushed in half the year. And they put up a ton of yards in some games and didn't score as many points, or they would score as many points, but they had so many turnovers because they were running so many plays, they couldn't really capitalize. So if they can reduce the turnovers, they've got some elite skill kids for this conference, both at running back and Daquan Isom and Aaron Stanton. And at receiver, they've got a lot of guys. You don't know who they're going to start, you know, for that first game, because they've got five legit receivers they could start, and they got some FBS transfers that they really like that have played a little bit that they really like during fall ball. So I'm curious to see what the depth chart will be Monday, but for the short answer, I think Billy Reed will have a huge role, but his numbers may be more spread out because of the depth they have at receiver.
Yeah, and you know what, you mentioned Daquan Isom. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic last year in the backfield, you know, taking the handoff and, of course, just being another receiver for the Salukis. Of course, he was suspended the final two games of the season. Really looking forward to seeing what he does this season, as I believe he will be a sophomore. I mean, I know he's really young, so really looking forward to seeing what he'll be doing for the Salukis this season as well. I'm with you. It'll certainly all eyes will be on Billy Reed, but you also got a few other receivers there to look out for as well. And Todd, now that we have the quarterback situation out of the way, at least for now, I mean, I'm not so sure how much of a leash Josh Strawn has, as it sounds like it was a very close quarterback battle that came right down to the wire. But the quarterback battle is out of the way for now. What remains to be the biggest question mark for the Salukis heading into the first game?
Well, I think it's still their secondary is still questionable just because they've got a lot of new faces. They've got two excellent safeties, Ryan Neal and Jefferson Villa, who played cornerback last year all year for them. Pretty good tacklers and pretty good speed back there. Pretty good size, too, with Ryan Neal. And so but their new corners, I mean, they've got some FBS transfers at that position, but it's a win or lose position a lot of times. So they'll be tested early, I think. And I think the defensive line has to really improve. They've got some guys back that missed some time last year. They've got a lot of defensive ends. They can rotate in. They can play small. They can play bigger. There's even one freshman lineman they're going to play this year, Malik Haynes. So they really like their depth at defensive line as well. And they kind of find a way to get a good rush with those four guys because they have some pretty good linebackers. You know, an elite linebacker like Chase Allen, who's on your All-American team. And they have two guys coming back that they really like. And they have a Kansas transfer, Kyron Watson, who's had a really good fall. He's just not going to start, but he'll play some, I think, for them, either on special teams or as a backup linebacker if they ever want to play four linebackers. So the defensive line and the secondary, you know, the offensive line has some new guys, so they have to have a solid center, but they really like Jacob Marnin, and they brought in a JUCO guy, Devin Brunetti, who they really thought may start and has been running with the twos and the ones, so we're curious to see who he'll start at center against Florida Atlantic, which we should find out on Monday. But I think it's more defensive line than the secondary more than anything else, and how, if they can stay away from turnovers.
Again, we're talking Southern Illinois Salukis with Todd Hefferman from the Southern Illinois, and you can check out his work at thesouthern.com. Follow him on Twitter at @tHefferman. I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. Tune into the CS podcast presented by the NUC NFL Draft Bible. And Todd, a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. And let's pick it up from where you just left off at with the defense. Let's shift our focus to the defensive side of the ball. And as you said, it all starts with linebacker, All-American linebacker Chase Allen, who was all over the field last year, led the team with 120 tackles and added 8 tackles for loss. There's some really good pieces on this defense. You also got Kenny James. And what I'm hearing, if what I'm hearing is correct, Ryan Neal will move from cornerback to safety. That'll be something to keep an eye on. But this defense allowed about 35 points per game last season, and that'll happen when the offense turns over the ball as much as they did a year ago, forcing the defense to be on the field quite a bit. But they're also losing some quality players in DJ Cameron, Brandon Williams, among others. Who are you expecting, what are you expecting out of the defense side of the ball this season for the Salukis? And I know you mentioned guys in the secondary and guys on the defensive line are going to have to step up, but can you name a couple of guys that will indeed have to step up in order for this to be at least a decent defense?
Well, I think, you're also losing Kenny James, too, who was a all-conference safety and is probably will do great, transfer to Ferris State. He'll do great there this year, but I look at T.J. Beilin, I look at DeAndre Barnett. DeAndre Barnett, the defensive end, played some outside linebacker. He came from Central Florida a couple years ago. Has had almost a sack every scrimmage from spring ball to fall ball. They've really had a difficult time blocking him, and I think he's going to have a big year. Defensive end Kari Waith Alexander, who's from the Chicago area. I thought he's had a great fall. He's their only returning starter on the defensive line. He really has to make an impact. And Nate Sylvester, if he's the guy that they start at the other defensive tackle, they've been playing Devontae Lee, who is a sophomore from Chicago, Simeon Career Academy. He's a real big guy, 6'6", 283. They've been playing him next to T.J. Beilin, kind of where the nose tackle would have been in their 3-4 system last year. So they've got some nice players inside. Chase Allen obviously has to play well. He doesn't have a lot of sacks, but he has some tackles for loss. They need to get some sacks and some tackles for loss from their front four. You know, it was a different system they played last year. This year they're going to just try to line up more and make the other team beat them more than them beat themselves. So I think they've got some players there up front that really need to make an impact. And they need more interceptions. They had 5 interceptions all last year in 11 games. That's very unlike SIU's best teams, even their most competitive teams. So they've either got to get pressure on the quarterback and force some turnovers that way, because they've got some skill kids, obviously, they can take those interceptions a long way and possibly score on defense, which they did a very poor job of last year. So even if you average 36 points a game, you know, you said it, their defense allowing 35. Some of that was the turnovers in some wrong places, but some of that was just giving up some big plays. So they've got to make the other team earn it, and I think that defensive line is going to be key to that.
All right, fantastic. Now, although there is a lot of excitement surrounding the Southern Illinois Salukis with the new coaching staff there, Todd, I mean, doesn't seem like as if the expectations are very high for the football team this season. Again, we mentioned it, playing in the Missouri Valley certainly doesn't help much at all. The Salukis open the season this Saturday at Florida Atlantic. Looking at the season as a whole, though, Todd, what are your expectations for this team in 2016? Will they win more than three games, and is there any chance that they can grab a spot in the FCS playoffs bracket?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's been a lot of people that asked me that over the last 2 weeks, and I always tell them, well, they could win 10 games or they could lose 10 games with the way their offense is. My guess, you know, my honest guess is they're going to be 6-5, right around that 500 mark, just with the way the schedule is, just with all the questions they have. But, you know, I could see if they somehow win that first game, and Florida Atlantic, if you're not familiar with them, they were 3-9. They've got a relatively new coaching staff. They're starting a third-year sophomore that hasn't had a lot of reps with them. They have an elite defensive end and an elite punter, but a lot of their other spots are a lot of new guys. They lost 6 or 7 games in a row before they won their last game of the year against a non-FBS team, from what I remember, for last season. So this is a team that doesn't know a lot about SIU. SIU has a lot of Florida players, a lot of athletic players that didn't go FBS. Whitney Simon wasn't even recruited by Florida Atlantic, so he's looking forward to that game. But they, you know, I think they could very easily be very good. But if they have a, you got to think they have a new staff. They're playing a pretty tough. It's very tough to beat an FBS team, no matter how bad they've been in the past. Just with the extra losing 22 scholarships. So I still think 6-5 would be good for them. I just don't think they have enough talent, you know, to compete for the Valley Championship. But, you know, they have 6 home games. They always play Northern Iowa tough on the road. And they love being picked 8th in the preseason poll. I think I picked them 6th. They love being picked 8th and not having a big spotlight on them. And they'll learn a lot about themselves those first 3 games because SEMO will be improved and Murray State has one of the best quarterbacks in the FCS that will test them, I think. So those first three games will tell us a lot.
Without a doubt, absolutely. Of course, Southern Illinois entering the season with the underdog mentality, and sounds like they love every bit of it. Like you said, Todd, this first game against FAU will tell a lot, and as will the first 3 games of the season. I'll tell you what, though, if they finish 6-5, that'll certainly be an improvement from last year. I think Nick Hill will have things going in the right direction with this team. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Todd, really appreciate you taking some time out of your Sunday afternoon to talk some Southern Illinois Salukis. Before we let you go, please let the listeners know where they can check out your work at.
You can see it at thesouthern.com. And, you know, as you said, on Twitter, just at T. Hefferman. Hefferman, and we'll have a big preview issue on Wednesday online. You can see that if you want to see that about the Salukis, and start playing on Saturday. So we're looking forward to getting ready.
All right, great. Todd, have a great day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to another episode of the CS Podcast presented by the NUC NFL Draft Bible. Check us out, NFLDraftBible.com. Use the promo code DRAFT2016 for a 30-day free trial. And for a limited time only, you can get 50% off for life by signing up and using the promo code FOOTBALL2016. So again, log in, sign up, NFLDraftBible.com. Anyways, thanks for tuning in. I am your host, Chris Schanefeld. And over the past week, I've been previewing all the FCS football programs in the state of Illinois. On Monday, we had Zach Carpenter on to talk Illinois State Redbirds. On Thursday, we had Justin Rust on to talk Eastern Illinois Panthers. Yesterday, we had Zach Holland on. Yesterday, we had Scott Holland on to talk Western Illinois Leathernecks. So be sure to check out the archives for those. And today we'll be focusing on the Southern Illinois Salukis as we bring on to the show Todd Hefferman, who covers SIU athletics for the Southern Illinoisan. And you can follow him on Twitter at T. Hefferman. Thanks for taking us